We're going to read God's word this morning from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. I invite you to follow along as we read from Isaiah 43, starting with verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. I'd like to begin this morning by asking you a somewhat personal question. By a show of hands, I'd like you to let me know if you have ever been on a cruise. Would you raise your hand if that's true of you? A lot of people within our congregation have had that opportunity to be on a cruise ship. And if you have done that, I'm guessing that it's very likely that you've been in the Caribbean, or perhaps you have gone to Alaska to see the beauties of that particular state. Whichever the case has been, you have been treated to an experience that has made long-standing, maybe permanent memories in your mind as you've reflected on those things that you have experienced. Every year, there are new ships being built to accommodate the growing number of people worldwide who are going on cruises. The largest cruise ship ever built, to this point at least, is now under construction in France. It's going to take its first cruise next year in 2021, and it is named the Symphony of the Seas. It's going to hold 6,680 people, and another 2,200 will be crew members on that ship. This enormous vessel gives a little bit of an idea of how popular cruising has become. And every year, the fleet grows as that growing number of people seem to have an endless appetite for being treated luxuriously, eating like pigs, frankly, and having the opportunity to see places in a way that perhaps has never been possible in any previous time. These ships are really not so much huge ships, but really are small cities. They are big enough to accommodate a medium-sized town, all in the luxury of being treated in such royal standards. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah wrote to the people of Israel and said this, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." It's that phrase, when you pass through the waters, that I'd like us to think about for a bit this morning. Did you notice that Isaiah said, when you pass through the waters, not if? The analogy that Isaiah is using is that these deep waters, these raging rivers, these fires that sometimes erupt are the stormy periods of distress and trouble and difficult life issues that we all face. It's not a question of whether these questions or these issues are going to erupt in our lives. The real question is, when will they come into our lives, and how will we respond to them? It's a universal truth that none of us escape from. If we are human, we are going to face rough waters at some point in life. We live in a fallen world, and sooner or later, hard times are going to come our way. Does this passage from Isaiah seem to promise that when those times come, when those deep waters seem about to engulf us and overwhelm us, that God is going to give us safe passage? Something like being on board a gigantic cruise ship that can safely pass through almost any rough seas? Or is there something significantly different about this God who claims to be the Lord of the seas? As we read these verses from Isaiah, it's important to recognize that he begins by reminding the people to whom he is writing that God is the one who has redeemed them. That's a beautiful word that we find throughout Scripture. Old and New Testaments speak about redemption over and over again. Perhaps you have heard before that the literal meaning of redeemed or redemption is to be bought back. The concept that Isaiah was conveying to the people is that they belonged to God by virtue of the fact that he had created them and called them to be his unique and special people. But throughout history, there had been many times when God had redeemed the people in a special way, when he had rescued them and bought them back in ways that only God could. Throughout history, we see examples such as God rescuing Joseph from his years of imprisonment in Egypt, elevating him to that great position of second in command under Pharaoh only. Or 430 years later, when Moses was called to rescue the people from their years of enslavement. Or the time centuries later when David was rescued from the attacks of King Saul, and even from the attacks of his own son Absalom, who wanted to grab the power and the realm from his father David. God was redeeming his people through those acts and many others all throughout history. Of course, the ultimate act of redemption would not come for centuries after Isaiah through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But that's not in this passage what Isaiah is really focusing about his attention to. He was reminding the people of the generations in which God had faithfully sustained and rescued and redeemed his people, even in the times of deepest trouble. Probably the central verse in this entire passage is verse 5, in which Isaiah says this: I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When times of trouble come, when we are threatened by the events of life that seem to be about to overwhelm us, we know that God promises to be the one who saves us from those situations. A few years ago in Florida, there was a boy who, with his family, lived on the edge of a lake. And one summer day, he decided he was going to go swimming. And so he told his dad what he was going to do. He ran out on the dock and dived into the water and started swimming. His father, who was working in the backyard, looked and saw his son swimming out, but he also saw further down the shoreline an alligator that noticed the splashing and the rippling in the water and who turned his attention toward that boy swimming and started swimming toward him. His father screamed to his son to turn around and to swim back to shore as quickly as he could. And he ran down to the dock to try to grab his son and pull him out to safety. It seemed as if it was going to be a really close thing as to whether that boy could get out of the water in time before the alligator reached him. They got to the dock simultaneously. As the father reached and grabbed for that little boy's arms, the alligator latched on to his legs, and this intense tug of war erupted. The alligator, of course, was much stronger than the man, but that father was not about to let go of his son. He was pulling with all his might. It happened that another man was driving down the road, heard the screaming that was going on from the lakeside, and came running down to see if he could help. And he brought his gun from the cab of the truck with him and shot the alligator. And they pulled the boy out, bloodied and mangled, but alive. After weeks in the hospital, that little boy survived, amazingly, with no permanent damage to his legs. He was discharged and sent home to continue his recovery. And a local newspaper asked if they could come out and talk to the boy and write an article about what had happened. And as the reporter was asking what had happened and asking the boy to recount the horrible events that he had experienced, he said, "Would you mind showing me the scars on your legs?" And the boy raised his leg pants and showed the reporter the horrible scars that were on his legs from that alligator's attack. But with obvious pride, he also said to the reporter, "But I've also got scars on my arms. Look at where my dad dug his fingernails into my arms to pull me out because he would not let go. I have those scars because my dad wouldn't let go of me." We have been redeemed by a God who doesn't let go of us. He loves us too much to allow us to be overwhelmed by the events of life. When deep waters threaten us, he'll be with us as we pass through those waters. For as he says, "I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." What a wonderful promise we have. All of which brings us back to that basic fact of life, which is that God does not promise that we're never going to go through rough waters. He never assures us that because we are his children, we are going to completely escape the difficulties of human life. He is going to be with us in the midst of those rough times. But living in relationship with the Lord does not somehow exempt us from those deep waters or those blazing flames that all of us face from time to time. A couple by the name of Robert and Frances Belot discovered how real God's promises are in their home as they were at one point in their lives invaded by a man who broke into their home with a gun and demanded all of their money. The Belots were in their 80s at the time of that particular instance, and Mrs. Belot, Frances, watched in horror as her husband Robert was tied up by that invader. She later recounted their experience to an area paper and told the reporter, "I thought this was the end, but God was here. We felt his presence. He gave us peace, and we were able to keep calm. The bloat spent 9 hours as hostages to that man, held in their home by a man who had planned to simply rob them and take off in their car, but police had been informed of a suspicious man in the neighborhood, and the house had been surrounded by police. Throughout the ordeal, they feared for their lives, but they also began to bond with their assailant. I sensed good in him, Francis would later say. I was praying for him. I believed that he had good in him. Police later reported that one reason the standoff ended peacefully with the assailant surrendering was that the Belotes had established rapport with him even when they were being held at gunpoint. In fact, at one point, Francis asked if he was hungry and if she could make him a meal, which he did. Finally, she said, I think he realized there was no way out of here, and said instead, we told him it would be best for everyone if he would simply surrender. So he finally just walked out the door and gave himself up. My guess is that not a one of us here has ever tangled with an alligator in a lake or had an experience like the Belotes of that era in their life. But even if our experiences have not been quite as dramatic as theirs, the reality is that we can be absolutely certain that someday we will face a stretch of rough water where it seems as if we are going to be pulled under. How does the Lord of the seas figure in those moments of our lives? How does he fulfill his promise to be our Savior, our Redeemer, when it seems that everything is about to fall apart and we have no idea how we're going to make it through that situation? Will you somehow try to plow ahead by using your own resources, or will you rely on God to be with you even if those rough waters don't suddenly become calm? The Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy once said, if you are not happy with life, you can change it in two ways. Either improve the conditions in which you live, or improve your inner spiritual state. The first is not always possible, but the second is. So how is your inner spiritual state? Have you learned to implicitly trust the God who has created you, who wants to be your Redeemer? When the storms of life are raging around us, even at times when it seems as if there is no hope of getting out of that situation, have you come to learn that it doesn't really matter if you are bobbing in those rough waters in a little rowboat, or if you are cruising in a ship large enough to house thousands of people, because in either case, the Lord of the seas is by your side. Centuries after Isaiah wrote to the people of Israel, the disciples of Jesus found themselves out on a lake during a stormy night. Even those among them who were seasoned fishermen were terrified at the power of that storm and were convinced that at any moment they were likely to go under and to drown. But they were unaware that the Lord of even the winds and the seas was with them in that boat that night. At his command, the winds died down and the waves became little more than ripples, and Jesus brought them safely to shore in spite of what those rough waters had looked like to them. What are your rough waters this morning? Maybe it's a scary medical diagnosis. Maybe it's the threat of a lost job. Maybe you've experienced a recent accident in which you or others near to you were injured, or maybe you've experienced the loss of a loved one through death. All of us face storms of one kind or another, but just as the Lord assured those Israelites through the prophet Isaiah so many centuries ago, he assures us this morning, you are precious and honored in my sight. I love you. I'm sure that taking a cruise on one of those huge new ships being built would be a memorable experience and a whole lot of fun. Those ships do a pretty good job of making at least some of the storms that come up seem pretty small and insignificant because of their immense size. But only the Lord of the seas can help us through the real storms that come to each of us every so often. Waves may come crashing in upon us, and it may be tempting for us to give up, but we cannot give up hope. Our Redeemer is with us. He calls us by name. We are His, and He has promised to never leave us on our own. What more could we ask when rough waters come our way? Would you pray with me? Father, we ask this morning that You would teach us to be wise enough to look to You when the storms come, to not somehow feel that we're strong enough to make it through on our own, that we can handle this by ourselves. The truth is, Lord, we can't. And so, in the midst of those stormy circumstances of life, may You be at work in each of us to do what You choose to do as our Redeemer and our Savior. Guide us, we pray, for we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, the Lord of the seas. Amen.